Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Glad to have everybody that's here in the house. Glad to have those who are online watching with us there, whether you're on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow us, subscribe, do all those things that you need to do there. Just helps in the algorithm to get everything out before others, especially if you comment there, and also if you share with others. So please do that. Retweet us on Twitter, all those things. And then welcome to those who are on the phone live streaming. If you need that number, please call the church office sometime this week. We'll be glad to give that to you. If you're here in person, see me after the service. I'll be glad to give that to you. Go to the website if you are at home and have access to the internet. Go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. Under the info tab, there's where you can download today's worship bulletin, the children's worship bulletins. Those are in the windowsill to my right. These are at the doors as you came in. And then also the prayer list. This is outside the offices here, but it's also under that info tab that you can download and have a digital copy there on your device. While you're there on the church website, if you'll go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there, you can do your offering there. So I want to encourage you to take the time to do that. You can do that from in person. You can do that from at home. In person, you've also got envelopes in your pews that you can do that giving in. So please take the time to do that. Every Sunday when you're giving, you're giving to the missions work that we support across our Tennessee Baptist Convention as well as our Southern Baptist Convention through our gifts to the cooperative program. Also, just want to remind you, don't forget the National Collection Week begins this week and goes through the 24th. So I want to encourage you to be praying about getting involved with that and helping us at the Processing Center. There's a sign-up sheet out here on the board. Be sure to sign up if you want to help with that, especially for next Sunday evening and Monday, in packing the cartons and getting those onto the trailers, the semi-trailers there. I think we've got three, you said? Supposed to, and so that'll be a lot of work that we'll have to do. So you can come anytime during the day, you can stay the whole day, you can just stay a part of the day, however you want to help on that Monday in loading those up. So just wanted to remind you of that. And then also I took a look right before this service just to make sure, and all of our angels have been taken off of the angel tree, so those are all gone. Thank you so much for picking those up and being a part of that. You don't have to have those back till about the second week of December, so take your time. There's some sales that'll be coming up that you can hit for a lot of those gifts. So I think that's all the announcements that I have. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good evening. Like the preacher said today, there's going to be a lot of sermons on faith. So if you hear a song over the next few weeks and months of that's repeated, it's okay. So if you would, join with us and let's sing Faith is the Victory, 413. We didn't sing that one this morning, but we'll sing it tonight, 413.
Comes through.
Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5, down through verse 6. And then we're going to turn over to the book of Genesis if you want to get your finger ready to go there in Genesis chapter 5. I've got some kind of congestion stuff going on, so when I stepped down off the platform this morning, I felt like, oh my gosh, I've lost my voice. I can hardly even sing. And I'm like, how am I going to get through tonight? But it's back for tonight. Hopefully I'll get through tonight without any issues, and then this will clear up by Wednesday. So take your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, down through verse 6. Once you're there, I want to ask if you will to go ahead and stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this word tonight. As we continue looking at the Hall of Faith and these various biblical characters and their examples that have been left for us, I pray, Lord, that as we dive deeper into their lives and their experiences, may we be encouraged, may we be directed, may we see instruction for our hearts and for our lives, and may you bring glory and honor in our lives to your name. Father, I pray that you will help us to be faithful in our walk with you, but most importantly, Lord, I pray for those who may be here, or especially those who may be watching online, who've never trusted by faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would hear that message tonight and the message here about walking by faith. So bless us as we dive into your word. Lead us in it. Let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May it renew our hearts and renew our minds as you use it to mold and shape us into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Take, if you will, and turn in your Bible. Keep your finger there, or keep your, sometimes you have those little ribbons in your Bible. You can put that down through Hebrews 11, 5. We'll come back to that. I want to ask you to, or Hebrews 11, we want to turn back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5. And as you begin to get to Genesis 5 and you begin to just take a quick view there of Genesis chapter 5, you know, there are chapters in the Bible that seem more like genealogical records than part of God's precious revelation. And Genesis 5 is one of those chapters. It reads almost like an obituary column, because you're going to read about person after person, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, over and over. You read that. It's a sobering reminder that death comes to everyone. Once heard about a woman who invited her unsaved friend to church on a Sunday when the pastor was preaching from Genesis chapter 5. And that day, that friend surrendered his life to Christ that day. And when she asked him, what caused you to surrender your heart to Jesus? He said, well, I figured if everybody in the Bible was dying, I probably would too, and I wasn't ready. There's wisdom in that response, because Hebrews chapter 9:27 tells us, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. But when you read these obituaries, if you will, these genealogies, that you, if you will, here in chapter 5, buried right in the middle of this chapter, among all of those deaths, is a man who did not die. Is the name of the next person that we find in the great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 that we read about a moment ago. His name was Enoch. The Bible tells us that he was taken away so that he did not see death. But before he was taken away, Hebrews 11:5 tells us this about his testimony, that he pleased God. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews goes on to tell us what it takes to please God, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, Enoch's story is one of those that we read in the Bible that leaves us longing for more details. He didn't follow the pattern of death. He broke the cycle. It wasn't because he was rich. It wasn't because he was uniquely gifted. It was because simply he walked with God. So I want us to take a deep dive, a deep look, if you will, into this man. He only appears in 9 verses in all of the scripture, but those verses are rich with meaning. Now, often in the scripture, we'll have some small statement about a person as to what their vocation was or what their lifestyle was. But with Enoch, we don't know that. All we know is that he was an ordinary man who walked with God. And what we're going to discover about him is that this ordinary man lived an extraordinary life. And even though we have very little information to go on, when you look carefully at those verses that we do have, they reveal to us some surprising things about Enoch and why he makes it into the great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And so if we're willing to learn from him, understand that his example can transform us too. So there's some things I want us to see about his life tonight, especially as we look in Genesis 5, verse 21 to 24. I want you to see that Enoch walked with God. We begin here at the beginning of his life. So Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 down through verse 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So get the picture here about Eli. Eli had been around on the earth for 65 years before anything of note happened in his life. We don't know anything about what happened in those first 65 years of Enoch's life. And then the Bible says that he became the father of a son whose name is Methuselah. And then it says something remarkable about him, that Enoch walked with God. Now, when you see that, notice how long. For 300 years after his son Methuselah was born, the Bible is saying that he lived in an unbroken fellowship with the Lord. And understand this, nobody is born walking with God. We all begin our lives wandering our own way. We're all born into sin. But something happened at the birth of Methuselah that changed the direction of Enoch's life forever. And from my experience as a pastor, there are two things that cause young couples to take a fresh, more serious view of God. One of those is marriage. And the other is the birth of their first child. I think every parent can testify to this as to how having that first baby causes you to look at your priorities and your values more closely than you ever did before. Because you begin to think, is what we're doing the environment I want my baby to be raised in? What do I need to do to change to give them the best environment possible? You realize that your children are going to grow up. They're going to be like you, and they're going to decide, and you decide, you better get some things straightened out because you don't want them to be like the current you. Maybe that's what happened to Enoch, because we find that it was at the birth of Methuselah that he began to walk with the Lord after his birth. You know, that's just like God, isn't it? Often he uses major life events to get our attention. Sometimes that's the death of a loved one to get our attention. But here for Enoch, it was the birth of his first son, Methuselah. And notice the cause of Enoch's walk. Now, names in the Bible are significant, and Methuselah's name is no exception. Remember, that's his son. His name means, Methuselah's name means, when he dies, it shall be sent. When he dies, it shall be sent. What in the world does that mean? When he dies, what in the world's going to be sent? Well, that might seem a strange meaning for a name, but it makes sense when you compare it with the information about Enoch from the book of Jude in Jude chapter 1, verse 14 and verse 15. is only one chapter there for the book of Jude. You find it in verse 14 and 15. There we learn that Enoch was a prophet, and God revealed to him that judgment was coming. Verse 14 of the book of Jude. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, so we know this is not some other Enoch in the Bible. This is the Enoch of this genealogy, the seventh from Adam, prophesied as a prophet would, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now, that prophecy ultimately refers to the return of Jesus Christ in judgment when he comes with his saints and his angels. But Enoch is given this information concerning his own generation. And so God speaks through Enoch that a great judgment is coming upon the world. You're kind of getting the picture maybe a little bit now. It wouldn't be in Enoch's or in his son Methuselah's lifetime. Because what does his name mean? When he dies, it shall be sent. When you do the math, as scholars have done, you find out something astonishing. Methuselah lived 969 years. He lived longer than any other person in the scriptures. And the year he died was the same year that the flood came. Isn't that an incredible picture of God's patience and God's grace? For almost 1,000 years, God holds off his judgment. He is waiting for people to repent. Every day that Methuselah lived, the message was the same. His name proclaimed the message. Every time somebody called him by his name, Methuselah, they knew what it meant. When he is dead, it shall be sent. What they knew is, from the message, judgment is coming. Turn to God while there's still time. And that's grace in action. Let me ask you something. Has God ever warned you? Has the Holy Spirit whispered to your heart that you need to change some things about your life? Don't ignore that voice. God is patient, but his patience has a purpose. And like Enoch, God wants you to turn and to walk with him. And so we see the cause of Enoch's walk. We also see the circumstances of Enoch's walk. Now, some might say and look at Enoch and say, well, Enoch had it easier. I mean, things had to be a lot simpler in those days than it is today. That's not what the scripture tells us. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it tells us that the world in Enoch's day was so wicked that every thought of the human heart was only evil continually. Every thought, only evil continually. Could you just imagine? He is surrounded by people who have absolutely no interest in God. Worse even than what we have today. And yet Enoch walked with God. What a testimony of his life. If it was possible then for Enoch to walk with God in the days in which he lived, when only the thoughts of a man's heart was evil continually, if it was possible then, it's possible now for you to walk with God. You may be the only Christian in your home. You may be the only Christian in your school class. You may be the only Christian in your workplace. But you can still walk with God. And this world does not have to determine your steps. You can choose a different path than the world wants you to choose. And so notice the choice of Enoch's walk. It was a choice for him. Enoch chose to walk with God. Now, when you look at Genesis 5 and verse 22, it says Enoch walked with God. You go down to verse 24 in Genesis 5, and it says Enoch walked with God. Twice we're told here, simply told that Enoch walked with God. There's no explanation. There's no evidence of any pressure. It doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't happen without intention. It happened because there was a decision in Enoch's heart to walk with God. Doesn't say here that he was pushed up against a wall by God. He just decided when his son was born, that life-changing event caused him to think in his heart, I'm going to start walking with God. That's how it starts for all of us. It doesn't come in some flash in the sky. It doesn't come in some major event. We just one day feel the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, and we decide, I've walked my own way. I've done my own thing enough. Now it's time to start walking with God. And I believe that sooner or later, every one of God's children comes to a fork in the road, a place where you make the decision, I'm either going to walk with God or I'm going to do my own thing. And you may have faced a decision like that for your own life, maybe in the past, or maybe you're facing a decision like that right now. God leaves that decision to you just as he did with Enoch. Enoch made the right decision, and so can we. Joshua, you look at Joshua, we'll come to him a little bit later in the book of Hebrews, but Joshua, he made the same kind of choice when he said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, when he said, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, I'm making the decision right now, we will serve the Lord. We have to come to the place, each one of us, married, single, husband, wife, father, grandparents, whatever, we have to make that decision in our own hearts. Am I going to serve the Lord? And so today you may be at that crossroads that Enoch faced. You've lived long enough to see where your way is leading. And deep in your heart, you know that it's time to give God first place. And you can choose to walk with him even today. But notice also the communion or the fellowship in Enoch's walk. Walking with God means walking in agreement with him. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, Amos says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So if Enoch is walking with God, he's in agreement with God. The reason Enoch walked so closely with God is that he agrees with God. Enoch walked so closely with God that God revealed to him the judgment that was coming on this earth, some almost 1,000 years later. And it said that when the wife of the great missionary J. Hudson Taylor was on her deathbed, she said to him that there hadn't been a cloud between her and her Savior for the past 10 years. When the great London preacher of old, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was quoted as saying that for many years he hadn't known more than a quarter of an hour, more than 15 minutes of being out of fellowship with God. Understand this, it is possible to walk closely with God. You may think tonight, I can't do that. How can I do what Enoch did here? How could I walk that close with God? Every single one of us have that capability to do so today. It's possible to walk closely with God. Real communion with God is built on obedience. It's built on surrender, and it is possible. In fact, it is what God desires for you to experience in everyday life. He wants you to experience his presence every single day of your life. And do you realize that Enoch's life was not filled with religious rituals? It wasn't filled with spiritual fireworks. In other words, he didn't have some kind of big mountaintop experience that we know of. God's word simply says that he walked with God. And it's implying there he walked day after day after day, year after year after year for 3 centuries. Not 3 hours. Not 30 days. Not 300 days. Wow. God's word simply says he was with him day after day, year after year. The question for us is, are we walking in fellowship with the Lord today? I want you to also see the consistency of Enoch's walk. Already went ahead into that a little bit. Here's what challenges us the most about Enoch. Because remember, Enoch lived 365 days. He had his son Methuselah when he was 65, and he began walking with God at that point. As I said a while ago, it means that he, for three centuries, he walked with God. Enoch walked in fellowship with God, and that consistency for 300 years, that consistency of his fellowship day after day, month after month, year after year, that consistency of fellowship and commitment is incredible. Because understand this, Enoch was not some super saint. He wasn't somebody who was immune to the temptations of this life. He was walking with God through temptations, through trials, through cultural changes. Think of all the, think about this. You talk to somebody who's lived to be close to 100 even, or even somebody who's at 100, and they have seen so many things change in their lives over the years. They've seen all kinds of advancements in technology and various kinds of things that have happened. Here is Enoch, who for 300 years has seen all kinds of cultural changes. He's seen spiritual apathy. And Enoch remained faithful. He didn't turn to the right. He didn't turn to the left for those three centuries. Instead, he just stayed in the middle of the road of faithfulness with God. That is consistency. That so often is what is lacking in our lives, is the consistency day after day after day of walking with the Lord. Consistency is what God honors. So remember also the kind of world that he lived in. It's one thing to walk close to God when lots of other people around you are doing that. But here was Enoch, who was living in a time of terrible disgrace and sin. He was living in a society that was ultimately wiped clean by God's judgment. He simply followed the path of righteousness through the sin that surrounded him in his day. Remember the passage we looked at a moment ago? Every thought of individuals in his day was continually evil. Enoch walked with God. But notice the scriptures, he also pleased God, which is what we find in the testimony of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 and verse 6. Read those words with me again in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. It was said of him, he had pleased God. So think about that for a moment. You may be tempted to quit when the journey gets hard. But listen, don't quit. Don't step off the path. If somebody like Enoch, living in his godless society, in all kinds of ungodliness and wickedness around him, surrounded by corruption, if Enoch could walk with God for 300 years, you can walk with God for a lifetime. Notice also back in Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 5, as we just said, Enoch pleased God. Notice in that whole list that we read about in Genesis chapter 5 there, this one died, that one died, this one died, that one died. The amazing thing about Enoch isn't, as verse 5 tells us, that he should not see death, that he never died. Scripture says Enoch pleased God. What higher praise could a person be given? You see, God did not create us to perform miracles or to leave a legacy. He created us to please him, and that does leave a legacy of him. And that's what faith does. Faith isn't just something we have. It's something that shapes our lives. So notice he pleased God by seeking after him. What did verse 6 tell us in Hebrews 11? It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who is the him? God. Enoch pleased God because he sought after him. He was not content to just believe that God existed. He wanted to know God personally. God rewards those who seek him. And when everybody else in Enoch's day was seeking the ways of the world, Enoch was seeking after God. That was the evidence of his faith. And we don't know how he did it, but somehow he separated himself from the rest of the people of his days before the flood. Understand this, that faith always finds a way to trust God. It always finds a way to please God. And in the same way that Abel, as we talked about last week, decided to give up the best of what he had for God, and to do a difficult thing like slaughtering a lamb for sacrifice, so Enoch's faith gave him the strength to do the difficult thing and walk with God. So let me ask you something. Are you truly seeking God? Not are you going to church. You might be going to church. Not are you reading your Bible. You might be reading your Bible. Not are you doing all the right things. You might be doing all the right things. But are you seeking God with all your heart? God says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So he pleased God by seeking after him. But he also pleased God by spiritually focusing his life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What does that mean? That means without the Spirit of God, without being saved, you cannot please God. Living in the flesh means focusing on your own self-interests, our own self-centered pursuits, instead of focusing on God. Enoch had one thing that he used to measure the things in his life. Here's the one thing that he used to measure everything in his life. Will this please God? That ought to be the question every one of us are asking. Will this please God? To please God, Enoch did not live for himself. He didn't ask, what do I want? He asked, what will please the Lord? In our day, when things that used to be off limits for Christians are considered to be a part of accepted lifestyles, you hear people saying, should I do this? Should I do that? The primary question, though, is, does this please God? You can bring all your debates on ethics, all your debates on values and morality and standards down to this one thing. Does this please God? That's one question. That one question can redefine your life. When you're faced with temptation, ask, will this please God? When you're choosing your friends and your entertainment, your responses, ask, does this please God? Ultimately, we have to arrive at a decision to please God, or you've not arrived at the right decision. And often it would be easier if we just started there. You know, many of our greatest moral dilemmas would be resolved if we just simply started with that question, will this please God? But then notice about Enoch, witnessed for God. You go back to that passage in Jude chapter, or verse 14 and verse 15. I want to keep saying chapter, but it's just one chapter. It's right there before the book of Revelation. In Jude, verse 14 and verse 15, again, here's what it said about Enoch. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's the prophecy. That's the message that Enoch took to his generation leading up to the flood. Enoch was not a silent believer. He didn't hide his faith. He didn't keep it to himself. Jude tells us here he prophesied. He warned the ungodly about the coming judgment of God. He took a stand that was not popular in his day and is not popular today. Sometimes we're afraid to say anything about our faith. We don't want to offend anybody. But Enoch teaches us that real faith speaks up. Real faith warns out of love. Real faith refuses to be intimidated by the culture of our day. If you truly walk with God, it will overflow into your words, into your life. Your life and your lips will both testify about your life that God is real and his word is true. And then notice that final thing about Enoch back in Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. Here's where the story ends, or really begins, when we're speaking here for Enoch. God took him. He didn't experience death. He passed from earth to glory in an instant. It was almost as if he was walking with God, and he said, Enoch, why don't you come on over to my place? We're closer to my place than we are yours. And he went on home to be with the Lord. Enoch went from walking with God on one day to walking in heaven the next. What a picture of what it means to belong to God. One moment, you're walking by faith. The next, you're walking by sight. One moment, you're following God from afar. And the next moment, you're at his side forever. We don't even know how it happened. We know that when Elijah was taken up, he was taken up in a whirlwind, in a fiery chariot. But we don't even know how it happened here for Enoch. What the form of his removal from this earth was when he went to heaven. It was purely geographical for Enoch because he walked with God both places. He walked with God here and he walked with God there. And that's what's so wonderful about this story. That promise is not just for Enoch. It's for every one of us who walk with God, every person who trusts Jesus as Savior. John chapter 14, verse 3 says that Jesus has prepared a place for us, and one day he is going to say to us, come home. Come home. Let me ask you, are you ready for that day? Are you walking with him now? Because the way to heaven is the way of faith, and it begins here. And so what's the takeaway for us? Here's the takeaway for us. Enoch teaches us that a life that pleases God starts with a decision. a decision to walk with God, to trust in God as your Lord and Savior. And not to just walk with Him when things are going good and you don't walk with Him when things are going bad, or vice versa. You only seek out God when times are bad. It's walking with Him consistently, no matter what's happening around you. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to be willing. So understand, you can choose today to walk with God in the small moments, in the ordinary routines, in the quiet mornings. You can begin anywhere that you are, even if you're here or you're watching online and you've wandered away from the Lord. God's word reminds us that walking with Him starts by surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ. Let me say to you tonight, if you've never done that, there is no better time than today. And if you have done that, then you ought to walk with Him every moment, every day. Walk with Him consistently. Walk with Him as a testimony in a world around us that desperately needs to see our faith in Jesus Christ lived out in our lives. Just like Enoch, you can be somebody who pleases God. And one day when this walk is over, you know what you'll find out? You'll find yourself walking right into His presence with Him forever. Begin your walk today. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You with grateful hearts. Lord, we are humbled by the simple but powerful example of Your servant Enoch. Lord, thank You for showing us that it's possible to walk closely with You, even in the midst of a broken and dying world. Lord, we confess that all too often we've tried to walk our way. All too often we've tried to follow our own plans. And so, Lord, here tonight we choose to surrender our steps to You. Lord, teach us to walk with You faithfully, day in and day out, not just when it's easy, but especially when it's hard. Help us, Lord, to seek You with all of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to make decisions that please You and to speak truth with grace. Let our lives, Lord, be a testimony of Your goodness and Your patience, just like Enoch's life was. And Father, when those doubts come, and they will come, when the pressures of life rise, and they will rise, Lord, remind us that we were created to walk with You, not in fear, but in faith. Give us, Lord, the strength to stay consistent. Give us the courage to stand alone if we have to, and the joy of knowing that one day, just like Enoch, we will walk with You in glory. We love You, Lord, and we thank You, Lord, for inviting us into this incredible journey. May our lives, Lord, reflect Your presence every step of the way. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to have our time of invitation. And if the Lord's spoken to your heart tonight to come to faith in Him, or maybe He's spoken to your heart as a believer that you've not been consistent in your walk with Him and you want to get things right with Him tonight too, you can come and pray at this altar. Sometimes we need some good old-fashioned altar praying. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song as the Lord lays upon your heart. Would you come as we stand, as we sing?
Amen. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. It's about gone, the voice says, for tonight. But look forward to seeing you Wednesday night, Lord willing. We'll be back in the book of Jeremiah. Ben's like this, can I hear you? We'll be back in the book of Jeremiah if I can speak on Wednesday night. Hopefully have a lot of rest and a lot of apple cider vinegar will help with all that. So, but look forward to seeing you then. If you can't join us in person, Awana is, this will be our last Awana meeting before Thanksgiving this Wednesday, 5:25 for Awana. Come at 5 o'clock for our meal time together. It's a great opportunity for you to invite friends to come for that. And then join us at 6 o'clock for our worship service. If you aren't available to be here in person, be with us on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, and we'll see you then. You have a blessed week, a safe week.